Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm a Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio. So I've been trying to make the argument that we need to just be preaching the gospel to people. That's it. Just the gospel. The power's in the gospel. Everything needs to be founded in the gospel. I'm 3 feet behind a guy who's just walking really slow. So I'm going to just try to ask him directly about the gospel. No segues. No funny business. Young man. Hey, while you're walking at kind of a slow pace, can I talk to you on the radio for a moment?
Sure.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you know what the gospel is?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Well, the gospel that I know of is about Jesus Christ.
Yeah? How does it go?
God has been reaching out to man, as recorded in the Old Testament, and time after time trying to have a relationship with man, and man continually letting God down. And so
how does man let God down?
It's kind of like a relationship you have with a friend, you know, where
I said I was going to show up for the game and I was 20 minutes late.
Just expectations you have, God has of us, and we don't fulfill those expectations.
What are the expectations? I'm punctual for football games?
there's the Ten Commandments. That's, a starting point.
Ah, so moral laws is what you're talking about.
Right.
Ah, so if I don't keep the moral laws, I'm in big trouble. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Ah, so what happens to somebody if they don't keep God's laws?
Well, immediately, there's consequences immediately in your life. You know, you... Ultimately, you know, what I believe is that you live a life in eternity separated from God.
Good place or bad place?
A bad place. It's called hell.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say I'm not nuts about God. Mm-hmm. Don't want to be with him now. Sounds pretty good being separated from him forever.
Yeah, I've had friends who said that. They say, well, I'm separated from him now, so what's the difference?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an honest question. I think that's the part where, I don't know. And, I just sort of have to have faith that ultimately there'll be a difference.
Yeah. Tell me, on the spot, what must I do to go to heaven? One sentence. What must I do?
Confess that Jesus is Lord and that he died for your sins and that you believe with him. That's it.
Okay. So if I simply said, I confess that Jesus is my Lord and he died for my sins.
And believe it. Believe it in your heart.
Okay, I believe it.
Not just say it, but like the saying is like Satan believes there's a Jesus and right, but he's,
So. Yeah, but they don't really, really believe it?
No, like Satan really believes that, Satan believes that Jesus is real and that he's Lord, but he's not made him Lord, right? So
what does it mean to make him Lord?
To follow him, to, follow his
commandments. Could I maybe offer another word?
Sure.
Repent?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in order to be saved, I need to repent, which means apologize, turn from my sins.
Right.
Forsake my sins and put my trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
And while the demons believe in Jesus and tremble, they don't repent, they don't submit, they don't surrender.
There's a submission.
You know that issue about separation? The Bible actually uses that term, that you'll be separated from God, but we need to understand something. The Bible also says no matter where we go, God is there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Psalmist said that he's even in hell. Mm-hmm. God is. Now, how is God in hell? I think we understand that being with God is automatically good. Being away from God is automatically bad. But we can be in his wrathful presence.
Sure.
So separation from God is separation from anything that is good about God, anything that is kind, anything that is lovely, gone, all gone.
Right.
And instead, his wrath is what's in hell. That's why that distinction should be made. Yeah, you'll be separated from God, but any separation from God is horrible.
Right.
Because even unregenerate sinners on this earth receive a great deal of blessings from God. They can walk, they can talk, they can drink, they can do whatever they really choose to.
Right.
Because God provides it for them. When he lifts his hand, his separation of goodness, that's when calamity strikes. And he pours out his wrath, separates his kindness from people, and sends them to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, dude. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for letting me check my hair and your sunglasses.
Yeah, sure.
See you, dude. All right. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Okay. Maybe this guy in a green shirt won't know what the gospel is. I'm going to make a point here if it kills all of us. Young man, whilst you're walking, could I ask you a question on the radio? Where are you going? You got yourself a stride there.
Going
like,
to eat.
Ah, so your stomach is driving you right now.
Exactly.
One question for you. What is the gospel? I keep hearing the term gospel. What is it?
No idea.
Oh, really? I'm in the Bible Belt. I thought you would.
No.
Where are you from?
Florida.
Sort of the Bible Belt.
Kind of.
Do you even know what the word means?
Yeah.
What?
It kind of seems like it's the kind of tales that kind of guide people.
What religion is it associated with?
Gospel, usually Christian.
Okay, there you go. I take it you're not one?
Not particularly, no.
Sort of one?
No, not really.
So you're not at all?
No.
Okay. So have you ever been presented the gospel before?
No.
Really? Did you ever go to church as a kid?
A couple times.
They never told you what the gospel is? All right, dude. I've got about 100 paces. We're going to get it in. Are you ready for this? How old are you?
20.
20. In your life, how many lies do you think you've told?
Quite a few.
How many things do you think you've stolen?
Not a whole lot.
How many times have you looked at a woman with sexual desire?
Every now and then.
Uh-huh. Today?
No.
Uh-huh. It's a little early?
Yeah.
Okay. How many times have you taken God's name in vain?
Can't say I have. I usually don't.
Well, you know, OMG, that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
All right, so, dude, you die, God judges you. Would you be innocent or guilty?
I would say pretty innocent.
You just confessed to me you broke a bunch of laws, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd be guilty, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So before you walk into the building, what would happen if God dealt with you, if he's just and he gave you what you deserve, should he reward you or punish you?
He would punish me.
All right. So you'd go to heaven or hell?
It's hell.
Okay. What do you know about that?
Nothing.
You do too. Is it a good place or a bad place?
I don't believe it exists, so.
Well, I know you don't, but if it's true and it does.
If it does, it wouldn't be a good place to be.
It'd be a terrible place, right?
Yeah.
And 20 years has been a long time, but going there for forever would be horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you sure you don't know what the gospel is?
Yeah.
What is Christmas? Do you have any idea?
I don't know, and I gotta get going.
All right, you're sure?
Sorry. Yep.
All right, not even 30 seconds?
Gotta make it fast.
See you, dude. Sorry. Bye-bye. Okay, if you've never joined us before, I'm going to respect the man. He doesn't want to hear what the gospel is. I realize that was kind of a hit-and-run sort of affair, but I'm not going to tackle the guy and keep him from going to lunch or class if he doesn't care to hear what the good news is, what the gospel is. Now, the point, though, that I was trying to make, granted, I know I've got a little microphone in my hand. I understand that could change the dynamic. But I would suggest to you, it doesn't. I walked up to this kid, a complete stranger, and my question was, okay, my first question, if you're a literalist, was, can I ask you a question? My second question was, do you know the gospel? He didn't punch me in the nose. And let me tell you something. If he was going to take a swipe, he'd probably catch me in the nose. Okay. Nobody gets offended by this thing. The kid doesn't get upset. People don't get mad. You can simply ask them that question. And I'm telling you, well, you heard it. You'll either have to try it for yourself or not. Hey, young man. May I talk to you while you're walking for just a moment?
Sure.
Where are you headed, by the way?
Spanish class.
All right, can I ask you? This is going to be a weird question. This isn't what I wanted to ask you. You got hair like my son's. All right?
Okay.
When you grow it longer, what happens to it? Because we can't grow his hair long without it getting all weird. Do you ever grow it longer?
Cut it.
You always keep it short like that?
Nah. First time I cut it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ask you hair tips. Sorry. All right, I'm just curious because you got to take a weed whacker to his head. You got thick hair, is what I'm telling you. right?
Yes, yeah. I got thick hair. Yeah. You just can't see it.
All right, but that wasn't my question for you. All right, here's my question. All right, you ready? What is the gospel? Do you know?
No, I am not religious, but I do think it is something religiously oriented.
To what religion?
I want to say Christianity, but that is one book that is used.
Yeah. All right. And where are you from?
Atlanta.
Atlanta. So you're in the Bible Belt.
It's known as being part of the Bible Belt. That's
yeah.
true.
And you don't know what the gospel is?
No.
Did you ever go to church as a kid?
Yes, I did, in fact, go to church.
Okay. Did anybody ever say, here's the gospel, and they told you what it is?
No.
What denomination were you in?
I wish I knew, but honestly, I just
don't remember. Was it Catholic or was it Protestant? Lutheran, Baptist, Episcopalian?
No clue.
No. How many times did you go to church as a kid?
In a total, it must have been 5-6 times. Not that much, really.
All right, dude. All right. Thanks very much for the chat. Appreciate it. Okay, we got to stop for the hour. I'm telling you. You've got to start witnessing to people. They will not be offended. Just ask them. Witness Wednesday, Wretched Radio. What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for joining us here today at Wretched Radio. You know, we're always appreciative of you feeling like we're important enough to spend part of your day with. And maybe you want to keep up with all the happenings at Wretched. Well, every month, Wretched sends out a newsletter that covers tough theological issues, and it keeps you up to date with all the things new at Wretched. And you receive updates not only on what's going on at Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that Christians face today. So if you want to get the Wretched newsletter in your email box each and every month, just head on over to wretched.org/newsletter to get signed up. That's wretched.org/newsletter. And while you're there, check out our donate page and find out all of the information on becoming a gospel partner and prayerfully consider helping us spread the gospel all over the world. wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
This is me biting my tongue, introducing Paul Marty from Tomorrow Clubs.
Communism so wreaked havoc in the countries where we work that they not only need physical rebuilding, but they need spiritual rebuilding as well.
Would love to offer a political commentary, but instead would like to encourage you to support your very own Tomorrow Club. In Eastern Europe, they are still feeling the ravages of communism, and very few missionary organizations seem to find their way to the poorest of the poor nations in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs does. They teach the gospel to kids every week in kids' clubs. They meet in small, poor villages where they share the gospel. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel home, and moms and dads get saved. Please consider supporting your very own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclub.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Isaiah is a collection of prophecies given to Isaiah.
It can be divided in two parts. Isaiah delivered bad news to Israel and the surrounding nations concerning God's judgment, and he delivered good news of salvation for those who repent. Isaiah also offers detailed prophecies concerning the coming Messiah who offers eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, young man, while you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, until you get to wherever you're going. All right, okay. Where are you from, dude?
Thailand.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm fascinated. Okay, tell me, what is the religious scene like in Thailand?
Religious scene?
Yeah.
It's mostly Buddhist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, there's nothing, you know, nothing more than what you have here with Christians.
Are there a lot of Christians there?
No, I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian?
Yeah.
But you come from a Buddhist country?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
My parents are, like, Christian.
Uh-huh. And yeah. So you became a... You were born a Christian?
Yeah, yeah, I was.
Okay. So if you're born a Buddhist, you're a Buddhist?
I guess you can choose, but then I just followed my family.
All right. So you obviously must have had some exposure to Buddhism, correct?
Yeah.
What's the difference between Buddhism and Christianity?
You know, belief-wise, it's quite a lot, but I'm not quite sure what, like, you know, about Buddhism, like, what they believe in, because, like, I don't really put much attention into
it. A Buddhist, when he dies, if he's gotten rid of all desires, he might, if he reaches a certain state, he might end up becoming a part of the great big cosmic nothingness. How is that different from Christianity?
Well, I guess, like, you know, how Christianity, you go to heaven, but then you still remain as, like, an individual. But then, Buddhism, like, as you said, Buddhism, like, you're part of, like, something bigger.
Okay, so let me ask you. If, let's say I'm a Buddhist, and I die, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to become a part of the great big cosmic nothing?
I guess. I don't really know that much about Buddhism.
But if that's what I believe, is that what's going to happen?
I don't know.
All right, here's what I believe. All right, I believe that when I die, if 6 minutes before I die, I drink 2 Diet Cokes and say Atlanta, Georgia 3 times, I'll spend eternity at the Coke factory in downtown Atlanta sampling the 42 different beverages that they offer at the end of the tour. Is that going to happen to me when I die?
I don't know. It's up to what you believe, I guess.
That's what I believe. Am I going to be in the Coke factory for eternity?
I mean, I wouldn't think so, because, like, I'm not a religious person, so, I mean...
I thought you were a Christian.
Yeah, I am, but then, like, I'm not that, like, devout, you know?
I'm confused. You said you're a Christian, but you're not really?
Well, no. Yeah, technically I'm a Christian, but, like, I can tell you, like, I believe... I mean, I don't exactly believe in, like, Christianity 100%, but I believe, like, you know, religion, you can use... Like, when you're in time of trouble... you know, you might... Religion helps you, like, going through, like, hard times.
Sounds like it's a crutch.
Crutch? I wouldn't say so. It's just like,
Okay. No, but even so, young man, if I believe that I'm going to spend eternity in the Coke factory drinking samples, and that gets me... I think that gets me through, that's kind of an illusion, is it not? It's more like a placebo.
Right, it's an illusion, but then it helps
you... So do you think Christianity is true?
True? What do you mean by true?
Well, not false.
As in, like, what they believe in?
Whether it's real. Yeah. You're a Christian, so I take it you believe in Jesus Christ, right?
It's kind of hard to say, man. Like, you know, coming to a school like tech, you know, you learn about, you know, all kind of science and stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of times...
Messes you up a little.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, half of it I believe in because I grew up believing in that. But then, like, the kind of line of, you know, education, line of work I'm going to, you know... Kind of diverging to different directions.
But you know what? I wouldn't even say that's a bad thing, young man. You know why?
I think so. Because I'd say you have a lot of opinions. Like, I mean, you have a lot of viewpoints. You can stand from, like, a lot of places.
Well, here's what I think is that if I grew up with a family of Coca-Cola worshippers, and I just believed it because, well, I was just going along with the family, I wouldn't be believing what is true.
Right.
I will have followed blindly. I think it's good for every man to try to figure out what is true,
right.
And then either believe it, follow it, or reject it. And so you're probably at that stage.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question for you. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Good person, like morally good?
However you want to define it.
I mean, sure, I guess.
All right. Let's check. All right? Mm-hmm. How many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I don't keep count.
How many things have you stolen in your life?
Not, like, you know, apart from, like, a few, like, a pencil or something, like, nothing like that.
Yeah, but value is irrelevant. It's the heart. It's the attitude that goes with taking something, right?
Right, maybe.
How many times have you looked at a woman and had a lustful sexual desire about her?
If you say how many times, I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell you, but I'm guessing, like, every person, every human is like that.
Yeah? Every day?
Yeah.
Maybe every hour?
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay. How many times have you taken God's name in vain?
No, I don't swear it.
Don't do that. Yeah. All right, so here's a little summary. You said that you're a good person, all right? But you just admitted to me you're a liar because you've told lies, you're a thief because you've stolen, and you're an adulterer at heart because Jesus said all you need to do is look with lust and you've committed adultery in your heart. Mm-hmm. You die, God judges you. Mm-hmm. He's just, he's perfect, he's holy, he's righteous. Mm-hmm. Does he find you innocent or guilty?
Yeah.
All right, this is important. So there you are, you stand before a holy God, he finds you guilty, the gavels come down. What's he going to do with you? Send you to heaven or send you to hell?
Well, like, I don't remember exactly, but then, you know, Jesus forgives you for, like, all your sins if you, you know, repent.
We'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay.
All right? Would you go to heaven or hell? What do you deserve?
Well, I mean, if you put it, like, you know, if you're going to go, like, either one end or, like, one extreme or the other extreme, then, you know, I would maybe say hell, but then, you know, things aren't black and white like that, right?
Well, they sure are when it comes to justice. If you're guilty, they don't reward you, they punish you.
No, right, but then the procedure to go through to determine whether you're, like, guilty or not, that's right. Not black and white.
Okay, but I'm not your judge, my friend, but you know if you've been morally pure, if your heart has been pure, you've never done anything wrong. Have you ever taken God's name in vain, dishonored your parents? You were naughty as a child. You covet things. You want things that don't belong to you. Heart issues. God sees into the heart, so he sees every thought, every word, every deed, and every action. If we're honest, I know how I'd be judged. Guilty, off the hell with me, because that would be what I would deserve.
Right.
Be real black and white. For everybody. That's what the Bible says. All sin and fall short of God's standard. And he must punish lawbreakers, and what they have earned for themselves is hell. Now, here's the question for you. Is that true or not?
What do you mean, is that true or not?
Is what I've just described to you true? Is God going to judge you? Does he exist? Is he going to judge you? Is he going to send you a place called hell? Is that true or is it not?
I mean, what I believe in, like, I mean, I would say no, but then, you know, it's, who knows, all right? Like, no one knows exactly, no one knows, like, how things are.
Well, I think we can, but that's a different subject, though, all right?
Yeah.
But if it's if what I'm saying to you is indeed true, where will you go when you die?
Then I guess it'll be the same place you are.
Hell, right?
Yeah.
You go to hell.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so, dude, we got to figure out if this is true or not. See, if I just say it doesn't matter, it's just a belief anyway. That gets thrown right out the window. Imagine, it's like a criminal who would stand before the judge and say, Judge, I don't believe in the court system. I don't believe in you, Your Honor. The judge is going to say, too bad, you're nuts, off to jail with you. And God would do the same thing. So you've got to figure out if this is true or not, because if it's true, your eternity is very bleak right now, right? All right. Now, you had mentioned something about Jesus and repentance or forgiveness.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
No, as in, like, you know, if you repent for your sins, Jesus will forgive you.
Why?
Well, that's what, that's the basis of Christianity.
Okay, so
I mean,
he's just going to say,
you can sin,
go ahead.
You can sin, but then, you can repent for it. You can, just basically pray and apologize for what you did.
Okay, and but so a criminal can stand before the judge and just say, I'm sorry.
That's why we were taught.
But it seems to me, if Jesus just says, oh, you've said you're sorry, and he lets you go, that's not fair to people who have kept the laws. That's not just.
Right.
If he's just, he must punish you no matter what, right?
Right.
Unless somehow your fine gets paid. If somebody stepped into the courtroom and said, I love him, I know he's done wrong, I know there's a stiff fine against him, but I'm willing to take that price, I'll pay it for him on his behalf, then you can be forgiven, then you can be set free, right?
That would be a different... I mean, that's not what, like, Christianity is.
It is exactly what Christianity is. That's what Jesus did for you. 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth to die for sinners, to demonstrate his love, to take the punishment that you deserve.
Right.
You've broken God's laws. Jesus paid your fine for you. That's the big issue. This is a big court case we're talking about. This is a justice issue.
Okay.
You've broken the laws. You've got a death sentence hanging over your head. But Jesus says that he loves you enough to die for you, a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because your fine can be paid, you've got to repent. Do you know what that word means?
Like, in a small sense, like, feel sorry and apologize.
That's right. Agree. I'm not a good person. I'm a bad person. I've sinned. I've broken your laws. I'm sorry. And you turn from them. You don't become perfect, but you have a new attitude about your lusting, lying, and stealing, and anything else that you're doing that God knows about. You turn from it, and you put your trust in Jesus. And the Bible says when you do that, that's when your court case will be settled once and for all time. God will see you as not guilty, even though you are. He'll see you through the work that Jesus did, and he will take you to heaven, not because of what you've done, because of what Jesus did. So you've got to repent and trust the Savior. That's what makes you a Christian. You don't get born into the family any more than you don't become an electrician because you were born to an electrician father. Okay? You've got to become an electrician. You've got to become a Christian. You've got to repent and trust him. You're a man now. You're accountable for your actions. You've got to determine if this is true or not. Right? So you got some thinking to do today, all right?
Yeah, sure.
Because if you haven't repented and put your trust in Jesus, you're not a Christian. God's wrath abides upon you. So would you do me a huge favor and do yourself a favor and think about this today?
Sure.
All right.
Definitely.
Because it's either true or it's not, okay? Right. Fair enough, man?
Yeah.
All right. You're a gentleman.
All right.
Thanks for that was a bad handshake. Do it again. There we go. All right, man. See ya. Goodbye. Study hard. This is Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, Jill Biden's in the news. She's the wife of Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, and she's urging Americans to, quote, vote for science, as if to imply that President Donald Trump opposes everything scientific. Her comment on Twitter coincided with the historic endorsement of Biden by the magazine Scientific American on Tuesday. The editors say they felt compelled to issue the magazine's first ever presidential endorsement because Trump's record on science is so bad. Scientific American slammed Trump for attacking environmental protections, medical care, and the researchers and public science agencies that help this country prepare for its greatest challenges. That was their quote. But when you look at their records, the Bidens are actually the ones who are anti-science when it comes to basic human rights. Joe Biden supports abortion on demand and wants to force taxpayers to fund them, even though abortions destroy the most basic human right of all, the right to life for babies in the womb. Pro-life advocates quickly slammed Jill Biden on Twitter. Science obviously is clear that human life begins at conception. Embryology and biology textbooks, respected scientists, and even some abortionists admit that that is true. That makes abortion the biggest destroyer of human life in America. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, nearly 62 million unborn babies have been aborted legally in the United States. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of mothers have also died from supposedly safe legal abortions, but there's currently no good data on maternal abortion deaths in the U.S. Biden's abortion stance is anti-science and anti-human rights, though he promises to be a strong human rights advocate who will care for the vulnerable if elected president. But that's all while he supports the murder of unborn babies and abortions without restriction and wants to force taxpayers to fund them. An Arkansas Kroger store violated federal anti-discrimination laws when it reportedly fired two employees who refused to wear LGBT-themed aprons due to their religious beliefs. That's according to a lawsuit which was filed this week by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or the EEOC. According to the Miami Herald, a dress code by the Conway, Arkansas grocery store required employees to wear a rainbow-colored heart emblem on the bib of the apron. The women believed that the emblem endorsed LGBTQ values and that wearing it would violate their religious beliefs. Kroger disciplined the two women and eventually fired them, an action that violates Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which bans employment discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. The EEOC charges Kroger with religious discrimination. Both women are Christian. The two women offered to wear the apron with the emblem covered, and the other offered to wear a different apron without the emblem, but the company made no attempt to accommodate their requests. The EEOC tried but failed to reach a pre-litigation settlement, the news release said. The lawsuit seeks monetary relief in the form of back pay and compensatory damages, as well as an injunction against future discrimination. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I got to talk to these kids. It's Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio. Guys, were you listening to that conversation?
I heard a little something about, like, religion. That's all, like, Presbyterian. That's all I read.
Yeah, the kid was a Presbyterian.
Okay.
Are you a Presbyterian?
You know what? I'm not. I used to go to a Presbyterian church with my mom when I was younger.
Is that right?
But I'm not a Presbyterian. Not
what are you now?
I don't know, really. Like, I would have to say I'm just kind of on my own trying to, you know, find the answers within myself, I guess, you know? But,
Trying to find the answers yourself or trying to find them inside of you?
Inside of myself.
Definitely. Where are they in there someplace?
Yeah, I think all the answers, definitely. I think that's with everybody. You know, everyone, like, you hear about people, you know, going off the grid, you know, going to take some trips, climbing mountains, you know, going places like that. I mean, that'd be fun, but I don't really think that's the fun, you know. I don't really think that's going to help
so
you find
here's,
your answers.
So, wait a second. I got to ask you. The answer is within you.
Yeah.
What's the question?
I mean, man, there's so many of them, right? I mean,
give me the big one.
Big one is, of course, you know, why are we here, right?
That's a good one. That's why do you think we're here?
I mean, man, that's a tough one. I think we're here for different reasons.
Okay, let me take you back to your Presbyterian days.
Okay.
What would a Presbyterian say why you're here?
I think they would say we're here to serve God, right?
They would say specifically to glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, I would like to think there's something bigger than us for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
I know you're not Presbyterian now, but sometimes we say things pretty fast without thinking of what it means. What does it mean to glorify God?
I guess that would mean just to, you know, put Him on a pedestal, you know? I mean, you know, make Him the most important thing in your life, you know?
Right.
And everything you do, it's all because of Him.
Okay, I think that's very good, actually.
Yeah,
I agree. Do you know what the biggest way is that you as an individual can glorify God? The number one, way above all those other things.
I think it's just to make yourself better.
Yeah.
You know, just work on yourself. You know, a lot of people try to, you know, change other people out
okay.
there.
Here's, okay, know? I'm going to suggest you something different. You'll
okay.
have something to ponder.
Okay.
And now this will be inside of you and you can figure it out
okay.
if it's true, okay?
Okay.
Here's the problem with the whole trying to make yourself better.
Mm-hmm.
But that is our problem. We're not better. In fact, we're not good at all. Okay.
Right.
Here's how we glorify God to the max, right?
Okay.
I'm going to take you on a little journey right now.
Right.
We're not going to go to a mountain.
All right.
No retreats. Absolutely free.
All right.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Most of the time.
All right.
Most of the time.
How many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime? How old are you?
I'm 22.
22. So in your lifetime as a man, how many lies do you think you've told?
Thousands. Thousands.
Get out. Your pants are on fire.
I like to be honest.
What
happened
to being a good person? What do you mean you like to be honest?
I think, you know, the magnitude, I think there's different magnitude of lies as
okay,
well.
But you know what
you
I'm
know?
Talking about.
I know what
about.
You're talking about,
okay.
though. Yeah.
A lie, I mean, lie.
You know, and I think a lot of that had to do with not knowing who I was when I was living with my parents and kind of thinking that I had to do everything, you know, for them. You know, now I do everything for me now, you know, and you know, it's good if, you know, and that's why I think it's changed a lot more. When I was younger, man,
okay, so
it was,
wait a second, you're living for yourself. Then
yeah.
That's my next question.
Okay.
All right. Have you been living for God all of your life?
I don't think so.
Okay, because you're living for you. So would this be fair to say, by the way, what's your first name?
Paul.
Paul, you're a nice guy. Okay, so Paul, if I had to say what the priority was in Paul's life, your highest affection, it would actually be Paul.
Right, yeah.
So really the God in your life is you.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah,
so that would be idolatry, all right?
Okay.
Okay, how many times do you think you've taken God's name in vain?
Man, too many.
All right. How many times today do you think, don't be smirking, dude, I could ask you these questions too. How many times today have you looked at a girl walking by and had a sexual thought about her?
Few times, probably, and it's kind of early.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, lots of potential the rest
yeah.
of the day. Okay,
yeah.
So here's the summary. You just confessed to me you're a liar, you're a adulterer, you're an idolater, because you've looked with lust, you've made yourself the god of your own life, you're a blasphemer. Have you stolen anything in your life?
Not from an individual.
Doesn't
I remember,
matter where
right,
it comes
right.
from.
Because
if you take it, it's the action,
right,
it's not the value.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Okay, so dude, you die. God judges you, innocent or guilty.
I would say, that's a tough one, but I'd say innocent. You know, just because
it is not a tough one. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I would. Well, it's hard to say because it's almost like I don't want to. You know, I'm not the kind of person that wants to embellish things and make myself seem better than I really am. So yeah, that's why it's a tough question. You know, because you know, it's almost like. you know, especially when, you know, has nothing to do with any kind of, like, judges and you know, like,
hold on,
jury
one second.
Like
hold on. Okay. Would he be innocent or guilty?
Well, I think, depending on how, I don't think God would judge so
black and
big
white
on such small things. I think is on.
Okay, but let's say he thinks they're big things. You don't. The criminal doesn't have a say in it, though. The judge does. The judge thinks that lying is terrible. Adultery of the heart because you lust inside of your brain, and he sees the heart and the intentions. So you don't, but God does. Would he be innocent or guilty? All right, you think about that one. Dude.
You know, by his standards, I would say guilty.
Right.
You know,
because that's the standards that matter.
Right, exactly. By my standards, I would say innocent, you know, but
right.
But that's me, you know.
Doesn't every criminal?
Exactly, right?
Okay.
And you know, it's easier for me to wake up every day and have a good attitude when I do think of myself as innocent, you know? So.
But I got a better option for you. All right, and we're getting to that answer, and remember where we're at. We're not kind of wandering away here. We're trying to figure out how do you glorify God to the max. We haven't gotten there yet. So you're guilty before God. Mm-hmm. He judges you. You're the criminal. He's the judge. Heaven or hell with you?
By his standards, I would say hell.
That's right.
By his standards.
That's right. And his are the standards that count.
Yeah,
all right.
Right.
Now, what did Jesus do so that you don't have to go to hell?
He's the one that took all the punishment for everyone's sins.
That's right.
You know? And, you know.
How did he do that?
I mean, he sacrificed himself.
That's right. Beaten by men,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Hung on a cross,
yeah.
Gasped for air, died.
Yeah.
Not to mention the stuff you couldn't see, God pouring out his wrath on him.
Right, allegedly.
That's
right.
That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
To pay the penalty for your sins, you've earned God's wrath. Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. Now, here's the situation. You're guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has paid your fine. Forgiveness is available, but you've got to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says if you will repent, fancy word that means agree with God, you're not good at all, not even kind of.
Right.
You're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart.
Right.
But you confess your sins and you apologize for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
You turn from your sins. Doesn't mean you become perfect. And you put your trust in Jesus, your fine payer. And God says the minute you do that, hang on just for a second, the minute you do that, all of your sins forgiven, and you'll not just be seen as not guilty, but Jesus' goodness, by keeping all the laws that you and I couldn't keep, will be credited to your account. You'll be seen as righteous before God.
You know, and that's the thing that I kind of, you know, with everything that I do wrong, I live with it, and I don't forget about it. And, you know, I think it'd be easier to live if I did do that, you know, repent. The thing is, you know, I think that's what's wrong with society sometimes.
Now forget
you know?
Society. You.
You know, oh, absolutely.
This is a personalized message.
But yeah, definitely. I mean, I wouldn't feel that way. I couldn't throw all my on someone else and then feel better about it, you know, because at the end of the day, I think, you know, you relate this to baseball and steroids and that
okay,
stuff.
Okay, wait a second. You wouldn't feel better about yourself, but you'd feel great about him, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
How does God glorify himself to the max? Here's how it works, Paul. If you would listen to this message and apply it to yourself, not to him or to society, and agree with God, repent, and put your trust in Jesus, the work that he has done for you, he'll forgive all of your sins, grant you everlasting life, and then for all of eternity, all of creation will glorify him and praise him for saving Paul.
Right.
Because he'll have demonstrated his goodness by dying for you, saving you, and rescuing you. The way that you can glorify God to the max is by humbling yourself, putting your trust in him, calling out to him for mercy so that he can demonstrate his goodness on you.
Right.
That's
right.
Your chief end.
Okay.
You got to get saved and you can glorify God.
Okay.
And let me tell you something about feeling better and waking up in the day with a better attitude. Waking up with a better attitude means that the God of the universe isn't angry at me anymore.
Right.
That's a very good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree.
And not only
that,
but I'm promised everlasting life and I get to be with the one who died to save me. I'm all in.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it'll put a spring in your step.
Okay.
Fair
okay.
enough?
Yeah.
What do you need to do to be saved? I said two things. Do you remember?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to repent.
There you go. And put your trust in Jesus.
Yeah. All
right. Dude. Think about it today.
Yeah, definitely.
All right?
Definitely.
Not trying to make you Presbyterian.
I hear you.
Just think about it.
I appreciate your opinion. Definitely.
All right. Well, figure out if my opinion is truth or not.
Okay.
Okay, because it's either right or it's wrong.
Right.
Okay?
Absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely.
My friend, fair enough. You've been overhearing the deal. Same thing. It's either right or wrong, what I just said. Correct?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Are you a Christian?
I was raised Catholic, but I'm on my own path to find.
Trying to figure it out. You know, that you guys, I think it's good that you are, because you know what? You don't get born an accountant because your dad pushed numbers around a piece of paper, okay? Just figure out if what I was saying was true, okay? Because if it's true, well, you're in big trouble. But there's forgiveness available if it's true, right?
I guess if you're looking at it as a certain religion, then it can be true to certain people.
Nope, it's either true or false, dude. Jesus is either going to judge or he won't. Bye-bye. Scoot, goodbye. See ya. Take care. Goodbye. See ya. Okay, that was two crummy handshakes in a row. I hate when that happens. So many of these kids here on campus, they do have some sort of Christian background. They do have some sort of Christian experience. But I got to tell you something. With the exception of that one kid who did a pretty good job of getting the gospel out, I want to go find their pastors and knock them upside the head with the Bible and tell them to read it. Come on, pastors. Be preaching the gospel. Nobody should escape your church after going there for years without knowing the gospel. And dare I say, nobody should escape your church after a Sunday without hearing the gospel. Because as you've just heard, kids who are going to church don't know it. We're at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
Suicide, typically an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's one we need to talk more about because it's the third leading cause of death among Gen Zers. This generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. Today's youth need help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it, but you know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide will provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. Give these booklets away to someone who need hope. wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
And now, a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
When I say gospel, you say partner, okay? You ready? Here we go. Gospel? Can't hear you. Let's try it again. Gospel. Hello. Is this mic on? Try it again. Gospel. That's right. My fault. My bad. I'm sorry. This is radio, so I can't actually hear you respond. But here's what I'm trying to say. When you become a gospel partner, you're helping Wretched spread the good news to people all across the world. See, every dollar you give is carefully stewarded away. If you're already a gospel partner, then let me tell you how extremely grateful to you that we are. We can't do what we do without you. And if you're not a gospel partner already, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? To become a gospel partner, just visit wretched.org/donate, or to make it easier, you can text wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate, or text wretched to the number 44321.
Important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, it's Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday, and we are at Georgia Tech. Been wandering around the campus, really really convinced that these days you don't need a whole lot of introduction. Establishing a relationship just does not need to happen, because I've approached how many kids here and simply said, do you know the gospel? And they'll just jump right in, and not one of them has wanted to punch me in the nose. At least they didn't look like they wanted to punch me in the nose. So my encouragement is, don't kill yourself looking for segues. Don't kill yourself looking to try to find a way into the conversation. Just start one. Just ask somebody. All right, let's see if I can. Okay, now I got to tell you something. The dude that's walking toward me is an intimidating looking fellow. I'm going to try out my premise on him and see if I can just jump right into the gospel without getting hurt. Trust me, he's kind of intimidating. Hey, young man, could I talk to you while you're walking this way?
Sure.
All right. Because I want to ask you a question. All right. You ready for it? Ready for anything?
I'm ready for anything.
Tell me, what is the gospel? Do you know?
It's a good word, right?
I don't know. I'm asking you. I'm the interviewer here.
Well, it seems to be a series of books written by followers of a religion.
Which one?
I believe it's Christianity.
Okay. And so
many religious groups worship these books.
Right.
And find them sacred. So. Uh-huh.
Okay, before we go any further, what's your first name?
Daniel.
Daniel, you're a nice guy. Todd, nice to meet you. How do you do?
Meet you.
Okay, I just asked you kind of a bizarre question, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard when I answer straight up, you know.
But I want to talk about me for a second, all right?
All right?
I just came up and I asked you, what is the gospel? Did you think anything about, I mean, were you like, weird guy, normal guy, whatever, just didn't have any thoughts?
Well, I kind of had this impression when I saw you talking to yourself in the microphone.
Yeah.
Well, it appeared that way.
Yeah.
That it was going to be a religious question.
Really? So how'd you know that?
I don't know.
Honestly.
I just had a hunch.
All right. Okay, so a complete stranger asked you a religious question. Did you want to punch me in the nose?
No.
All right. Find me intolerant?
No.
Huh.
I mean.
So no worries. Complete stranger. Yeah, to each his own. So as long as I don't try to beat you up and make you a Christian or something, you're good to go.
Sure.
All right.
Of course.
Okay. The gospel. You have no idea. And where are you from?
North Carolina.
You're in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
How can you not know what the gospel is?
I mean, I know what it is, but...
Well, what is it?
I mean, it's the New Testament. The books are written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
There you go. Oh, you weren't telling me everything you know. All right. But what is the message of the gospel?
I mean, if I had to, I'm not super familiar with the Bible.
Did you go to church as a kid?
Yes, I did.
What kind of church?
A Catholic church.
All right, what did they tell you the good news is? Did they ever tell you the good news?
I mean, sure.
What is it?
No. That Jesus died and rose from the dead.
Yeah.
And is risen.
Yeah. Why is that?
Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it happened, I guess.
Yeah. No, but what was the purpose? What was the point? Or was he just the victim of bad guys?
To save us from mortal sin, I think.
Ah, save us from our sins. Do you believe you're a sinner?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah.
So you are a Catholic?
I'm a hybrid of things.
What are the other things?
Many things. I mean, I'm on a spiritual journey that will consist of researching a lot of religions.
Very fair. I think that's very wise, actually. Do you have to research every religion that there is before you can settle on what's true?
I don't know about every religion, but the ones that I'm interested in, at least. And, I mean, I've heard some things in different religions that I agree with. Maybe more so the way that it's stated than what it's actually saying. And because it could be saying more or less the same message as Christianity.
Yeah. What group is saying more or less the same thing as Christianity?
I mean, a lot of groups.
Who?
I mean, for an easy example, Rastafarians are pretty much a sect of Christianity.
Well, pretty much, except not really. They say they are, but it's pretty different.
It's different, sure.
Right. Okay, I'll challenge you with this thought. All right, we're gonna do a little chalk art in this square right here. All right, in this square is we'll put Buddhism and right. Hinduism right. and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnessism, right. spirituality, any everything but Christianity.
Okay.
All right, and here's what they have in common. All of these say, be a good person, do good. And maybe, not for sure, but maybe when you die, you go to a better place, you get reincarnated into somebody rich, You end up in a better place in paradise with 70 virgins. Maybe it'll be better if you do good. Is that a reasonable representation that I've just made?
Yeah, reasonable.
All right. Now, over here, in this square right here, we've got Christianity, biblical Christianity, mm-hmm. Jesus, mm-hmm. who said, you're not good, you cannot earn your way to heaven. In fact, because you're so bad, I will condemn you to hell. Because I'm just and I'm perfect and I'm holy. You cannot earn your way to heaven. Am I doing okay so far?
I don't know about that.
Okay. You don't know about which part?
The part about you could never make it to heaven.
How come?
Because, I mean, there's a lot of things in Christianity that says if you do, basically... the
well, I didn't finish yet. Yeah, I didn't finish the story, okay? Do you think you're a good person?
Sure.
Okay. Can I test that premise?
I mean, sure.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Countless.
All right. So if I told countless lies, what would you call me? What name would you tag me with?
I don't know. A normal person.
A liar?
I knew you were trying to get me to say that.
Right? Okay, so yeah. You'd be a liar. Okay. All right. How many things have you stolen in your life?
I mean, probably like 10 or 12.
10? 10 or 12. So you've stolen 10 or 12 things. What does that make you?
It could make me a thief.
It sure does. Okay, a little trickier, a little dicier. All right? Not just external things. Jesus says he's going to judge your heart and your desires and your thought life. All right? How many times have you looked at a woman with sexual desire?
A lot of times.
More than 10 or 12?
Sure.
Okay. Because he said if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart, right? So here's our summary. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, adulterer at heart. You're not a good person. And that's what the Bible says. You're not good. Nobody does good. No, not one. Not even you, with all due respect. Okay? So far I'm right. Jesus is over here and he says, you can't do good. I can't take bad people to heaven. They deserve hell. Are we at least up to speed so far?
Sure.
Okay. Now, what did Jesus do so that sinners don't have to go to hell?
He died on the cross.
There you go. So that he can be just and a justifier and a good God and a kind God. There's a little bit of tension. You see, God is just. He's got to punish lawbreakers, but he's loving and he's rich in mercy. So to satisfy justice, he sent his son to take the punishment we deserve. Now, we have to respond to that message. It doesn't just apply to everybody. You've got to respond to it. You used the R word a couple of minutes ago. What must you do to be saved?
Repent.
What does that mean?
I mean, ask for forgiveness. Ask for God to accept you even though you're a dirty sinner, basically.
Yeah, that's right. And then turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus. If you'll repent and trust the Savior, he says, I'll forgive you and I'll grant you everlasting life. All right? Now, here's a little chalk art. Here's a little sidewalk art. All these say, try to do good, and maybe you'll get someplace good. This one says, you've done bad, but I'm good, and I'll save you, and I'll take you to heaven because of what I've done, despite what you've done. Fair enough? Now, here's the question, dude. Is that square right? Or are those squares right? Or none of the squares are right?
Or are all of them right?
Can't be.
Why is that?
They contradict each other. That's all of these true. Say, you're good, and maybe I'll take you someplace better. This one says, you're bad, you're going to hell, but I'll save you if you repent and trust me. So they're just in direct opposition. So you can put all the other world systems together, but not Jesus. So either Jesus is right, or he's not right.
I mean, I guess.
Right?
Are all the people in that box, do they believe that all the people that are in no box, or in that box, are going to go to hell?
That's a good question, and it's a fair question. I would respond by asking you a question. Have those people in that box sinned?
Sure.
Okay. If Jesus is who he claims to be and they've sinned, and those other gods, those other systems don't help, they're going to face that God, and they've earned for themselves
hell. What if they face
hell.
Their own God?
Those gods don't exist if Jesus is true.
But what if all gods exist?
Well,
and they are one
but then,
God.
But if all those gods exist, then Jesus doesn't, because Jesus is unique. All of these are kind of similar. They all say you can try to be good, and we'll do something for you. Jesus says something so radically different. Either Jesus is right, or he's not. It's not an option to kind of lump him in with. It doesn't matter. You can believe whatever you want to. All roads lead to God, because Jesus said, "Nope, they don't. They're idols. They're false. They don't exist. They're idols in people's brains or on people's mantles." and I'm the only way to get to the Father. But here's what you should figure out, though.
I mean,
figure out if it's true.
There are idol gods in, like, the media structure and many things that exist today within our society.
This is either true or it's not. And that's my challenge for you. Okay, so either say, I don't believe in Jesus, forget about it, I'm not interested, but don't say it doesn't matter, because it does if it's true. That's all I'm challenging you with.
I feel like before you have to take that challenge, you really have to ask, what is truth?
I agree completely. So figure out what is truth. Fair enough?
And that's the quest.
Determine if what I'm saying is true or not. All right, young man? All right, you're a gentleman. Shake my hand.
All right.
Goodbye. Have a good day.
Okay.
Thanks for not hurting me. Because I'm telling you, he looked like he could have. He was the dreadlock guy, and he kind of had that look like he would be. Don't be afraid. Just get into it and go. Go, go, go. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.